All right, let's turn once again to Luke chapter 2 and pick up where we left off last week. We are talking about the Shekinah that showed up on the night our Savior was born, and the glory that showed up, and it's just absolutely amazing all that happened. We see in verse 9 that the glory of the Lord shone round about them, talking about the shepherds when the angels appeared, and then we saw down in verse, let's see, what is it? Verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so they went over into Bethlehem and were pointed, led to the manger where they saw the newborn baby, and they saw Joseph and Mary, and then they went and just spread the news everywhere. If you look at verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All right, so last week we discussed a fourth witness to the fact that the Messiah, the Lord, had been born in Bethlehem's manger, and that witness was the name that was given to him. And we saw that the angel of the Lord told the shepherds in verse 11 that the Savior had indeed been born. And that's what all of the show in the air, in the sky, was all about. The appearance of the angel of the Lord, the appearance of the heavenly angels as they were praising God. And we saw that he was given a name. And verse 11, we see those names. First of all, there was the Savior. He was the Savior. Notice that that's capitalized. So the promised Savior, the Redeemer, the one that was promised in Genesis 3:15, when Adam plunged mankind into sin, and God came and promised a Redeemer for us. Well, that is our Savior, and that is implying someone confronting all the sin of the world with authority, with regal authority, based upon redeeming power. Now, I don't have that redeeming power. You don't have that redeeming power. Who does? Well, the Savior does. Amen. That's what it's all about. The Savior has that redeeming power. Second name was the name Christ. And we saw last week that when you see the word Christ, it is a reference to the Messiah, the Messiah. And that name implies that he is someone who can and will confront all of the chaos of this world. And boy, there's a lot of chaos today. Would you agree? Man, what a mess our country is in. What a mess the world is in. And so the world is ripe for the Messiah, the Christ, to return to this earth and take his seated position upon the throne of David and get all this mess straightened out. And so that day is coming. Then there's the third name, and that is the name Lord. All right? Those were the names that the angel of the Lord gave. Now, we also stopped to discuss the fact that Joseph and Mary gave their son a name, the Christ child. And we looked back at chapter 1 and in verse, Matthew. I'm in the wrong book. All right, so go back to Matthew for just a second and remember that that the angel of the Lord showed up and told Joseph and Mary, all right, or the angel Gabriel showed up and told Joseph and Mary that that this child that Mary was going to birth was to be called Jesus. All right, and I explained to you that Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. So that was his given name. Jehovah is salvation. And if you remember from last week that I reported to you that multitudes of parents, when they had a little boy, and when he especially was the firstborn in the family, they named, many of them named their little darling Joshua, hoping that he would be that child who would be the Messiah. You see, the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, were filled with promises that the child was coming, that Jesus was coming, the Savior was coming. And so the point was that the names that he was given prove that he is who he claimed to be. All right, now, that's what we did last week. Now let's pick up now with another witness. And turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 2. And here is another witness. And this other witness is of the wise men coming in this chapter. All right? Now, you haven't left... Did you mark Luke 2? All right, because hold your place there in Matthew 2. But go back over to Luke 2 for just a second, and let me point out some a thing or two here to you. All right, in verse 9, when you see the glory, that's the Shekinah. That's the Shekinah. And it said it was the glory of the Lord. All right, the glory of the Lord. All right, now look down at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Now, to whom is the angel of the Lord speaking? Who's he speaking to? The shepherds. Exactly right. Who said that? Who said that? All right, four or five of you did. All right, you all get a bozo button. All right. Boy, did I just date myself or what? Huh? Mercy. So the shepherds, the angel of the Lord is speaking to the shepherds. And what did the angel say in verse 12? And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Where? In a manger. In a manger. Everybody got that? Where was he going to be lying? In a manger. Very good. Now go over to Matthew 2. All right. And we have the witness of the wise men. Now think of this, folks. This is not included in the narrative of our Lord's first advent, his first coming to this world, simply as filler material. All right? It's not here just to take up space. It is here for a reason. A reason. And I want you to understand this reason. I have no doubt but that we are supposed to see these wise men as another witness, as another piece of evidence, as another piece of the puzzle that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord of all the earth. It's here for that purpose, so that you and I would understand that this baby who was born on the night described in Luke 2, and this baby who was in the manger in Bethlehem, who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, no doubt that this child born was the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Christ, the Anointed One. No doubt. All right, now, what we have over here in Matthew 2, remember now, each one of the four Gospels presents the Lord Jesus Christ in a special light. All right? How does Matthew present the Lord Jesus? As the King, exactly right. How does Mark? Servant, very good. And Luke, the Son of Man, very good. And then John, as the Son of God, as deity. All right? Matthew has a genealogy going back to David. Why? Because a king has to have proof that he is worthy to sit on the throne. And so Matthew, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that shows Christ as the king of that kingdom, presents the Lord Jesus with a genealogy that takes him back to David. All right, then you have Mark. Mark presents the Lord Jesus as a servant. Well, we all know that a servant doesn't need a genealogy, does he? Nobody cares where a servant comes from. He's simply a servant. And that's the way Mark presents the Lord. He did not come, Mark tells us, to be served, but he came to serve. And that's exactly what he did. He served man. And the ultimate service was when he went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life so that we could have a Savior. All right, then Luke. Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. And it's interesting, when you get to Luke, the genealogy goes all the way back past David, all the way back to Adam. And then the Bible tells us that that so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he was the son of, and he was the son of, and then you get all the way back to Seth, and he was the son of Adam, and Adam was the Son of God. Amen. All right? He was created by God. He was created by God. Now, keep that in mind, and don't forget that Sunday, is it morning or night? I think it's night. Don't forget that Sunday night, okay? If I don't remember to point it out to you again, remember it when I preach it, and then you can smile, all right? But nonetheless, Luke takes us back all the way to Adam and shows us that he is the son of that he is the Son of Man. And remember, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And then John presents him as God. And God doesn't need a genealogy, does he? No, he's God. He doesn't need a genealogy at all. All right, so what do we have here in Matthew? The gospel that presents Jesus as royalty, as the king. All right, look at it. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. All right, so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that is when the star appeared to the wise men over in the east in Babylon. All right? And they started their journey toward Israel. So it took them 2 years to get there. All right? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's read on. It says, saying, so they came to Jerusalem. Notice this. They didn't go to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem. So picture in your mind this great caravan, look at me, of kings, of royalty. These were the princes of Babylon. These were the big shots. These were the big wheels. These were the guys that had the knowledge, the education. They had the training. They had the money. I mean, they financed this trip all the way across the desert, some 500 miles across the desert, looking for the king who was born of the Jews. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? All right, now watch. Read on. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, why was Herod troubled? Well, I'll tell you, because he was the king. And now here are these guys coming into town and saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, wait a minute. Herod's sitting there going, I'm the king. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm the king around here. And so, but Herod, oh, don't forget, he's a wise old fox. Don't forget that. All right? Most liberals are when it comes to this stuff. Not wise on anything else. They don't know how to run a country, that's for sure, except for in the ground. All right, verse 4, so when he had gathered, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where, what's the next word? Christ. Who's Christ? Messiah. Yes. The Messiah. Where Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. Now, the prophet is Micah in the Old Testament. Micah, and it's chapter 5 and verse 2. And here's what verse 2 says. You can see it in verse 6 of Matthew 2. He says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a, what? Governor, a ruler, all right? And that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately, if you will, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, here's a lie with a straight face. Here's a lie, but here, look at it. Go and search diligently for the what? Young child. All right. So, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, folks, don't forget that the shepherds went everywhere publishing what they had seen. Word was out. Word was out that the Messiah had been born. They gave testimony that they had seen the Shekinah. They had seen the glory of the Lord, and that the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, folks, everybody in Israel understood because they knew their Old Testament scriptures. And they understood that the angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. They understood that. They knew. And so here now is word spreading everywhere. And it had probably been spreading for about 2 years. 2 years. You say, well, Pastor, you keep saying 2 years. Why do you say 2 years? Well, look down at verse 16. After the wise men went out, they didn't go to Bethlehem. They never went to Bethlehem. Instead, they turned left and they went to north to Nazareth. All right? They went north to Nazareth. Now look at verse 16. When Herod found out about this, oh, he was upset. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth. Notice, he did not send forth an army to go and destroy the wise men. Oh, they respected them. These wise men were men of great respect. They would never have harmed a hair on their heads. No way. No way. And so where did he send them? Well, he sent them that down to Bethlehem. Look at it. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts. In other words, all the little villages around Bethlehem, which aren't that many, but all the little villages around Bethlehem from, watch, from how old? 2 years and under. So evidently, these rumors about a Messiah have been going around. And evidently, when the wise men came into town, they said, for we have seen his star in the east. Now, it doesn't tell us that Herod asked this question, but don't forget, he's a sly old fox. Oh, yeah, well, when did you first see that star? Oh, it's 2 years ago. We've been on the road for 2 years looking for the Messiah. Really? Well, I tell you what, let me check for you. So he checks, comes back, and says, well, my men are telling me that the scriptures say that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So here's what I want you to do, guys. Go and find him. Search diligently. And when you have found him, let me know. Because I too want to go and worship this king. Well, that was a lie. He did not want to worship the king. He wanted to kill the king. But the Lord prevented that, didn't he? The Lord prevented that. Why? Because Jesus was not to die at the end of a soldier's sword. He was to die being hung on a tree. Why? Because cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He became our curse for sin. He died in our stead. That curse is upon all of us. But Jesus took our place. And now the curse has been lifted from me because I've trusted Christ and he bore my penalty. You see how it all works, folks? All right, so that's why I say 2 years and under. All right, read on. Let's see, where'd we leave off? Verse 9. It says, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the, what? Star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? Because they knew that the Lord was leading them. Folks, what's a star? What is a star? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? What's a star? Huh? Well, in the book of the Revelation, yeah. But I'm talking physically. What is a star? It's a ball of gas. And that gas produces what? Light. You with me? When they saw the star. Now, folks, let me encourage you to go out tonight, if it's not cloudy, look up in the sky and see if you see any of those little twinkly things up there moving. Now, you might see the International Space Station go over. It looks like a candlestick and going over. I mean, you see it all the time around here in the night, or I do. I look for it. I used to have an app on my phone that I could follow it, and I would be sitting in the house, and I'd look at that app, and it'd say, I'd look at it and say, ooh, about 15 minutes it's going to be here. And I'd go outside. I could see the direction it was coming. You say, you're such a geek. I know. I know, but I love it. I mean, that fascinates me. I saw on the news one time that it was going to fly right over Carroll County, and that it was the lowest that it had been in decades, I guess, couple of decades. And they said that it will come over right around the time dusk has hit. And you'll be able to look up, and it will still be in the sunshine, and you'll be able to see it go by. And then it had a little map as to when, what time that thing was going to go over. So I went out in the driveway, and I'm standing there looking up. My neighbors probably thought, there he goes again. But I stood there, and I'm looking up. And sure enough, it went over. Folks, it looked like 5 or 6 great big Greyhound buses all attached together going over. You could see it with your literal eyes. You didn't need binoculars or you didn't. You could just see it. And it was huge. Amazing. Well, you go out tonight and look up, see if you see any stars out there floating around. No, you don't. They're fixed. So what was this? Huh? What was this? What was it that led them 500 miles across the desert? What was it that led them right to Jerusalem so they could ask King Herod to fulfill scriptures? Chapter 2, look at verse 17. Then was, what's the next word? Fulfilled. Exactly right. Am I boring you all? All right, so you see what I'm doing? You see where I'm going? What was it that was in the sky that they could follow? Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, should you? Sorry. Yeah, you shouldn't say bingo in church. I'm sorry. Right. The Shekinah. That's what, I mean, I had never even thought of that. But folks, you go out tonight and look up. You stand there and look, oh, there's a big bright one. And you stand there and look at it, it doesn't move. It's fixed. You're sitting there going, how could they have followed one of those things? Do you realize those things are millions and millions and millions of miles away from us? I mean, if you started now trying to get to the closest one, it'd take you 250 years to get there. Seriously. So what was it that they saw? I think it probably, and now it doesn't say that it was the Shekinah, but it's really about the only thing that makes sense to me. And just as in chapter 2 of Luke in verse 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What is that? That's the Shekinah. And if the Shekinah appeared to the shepherds in order to fulfill Scripture, don't you think that the Shekinah in Matthew 2 could appear to the wise men and lead them across the desert to eventually lead them to the house? Look at your Bible, verse 10 of Matthew 2. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I reckon they did. You know? When they got to Jerusalem and the star was gone, don't you think they got a little disappointed? Don't you think they got a little discouraged? When they went into town, everybody stopped. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. That you get this huge delegation of wise men, as they were called, magi, come into town. And they come in dressed in all their royal regalia, and they come in with their crowns, and they come in with their bodyguards. And this was not three. There is no way this was three. Three men would never go across that desert with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If they did, they'd be nuts. And they wouldn't make it. Because somebody knock them in the head, as sure as you're standing here, or sitting here, I'm standing. Sure as I'm standing here. All right? So, no. I mean, when they saw the star, wow, there it is again, guys. You see, I wonder if they were puzzled when it didn't lead them to Bethlehem. I doubt it. They were so happy to see the star, they just followed wherever it went. And it did not go south. It went north. You say, well, Pastor, how you know that? Hold on. Say, Pastor, how you know that? Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the what? House. Does that say stable? Does that say manger? No. They came into the house. Now, when they came in, watch this. They saw the infant? No. They saw the baby? No. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped her. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Boy, don't you wish a bunch of people would learn that? They didn't worship her. They worshiped him. Him. You see that? And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the reason why everybody says, you know, we three men of Orient are... No, it's not. No, no, no. Whole caravan. We a whole bunch of men from the Orient. You know, that's what it is. That's what it is. And when they opened three gifts. And those, you know that God is a God of numbers, right? You know that. I've taught you that. All right, gold. What's gold signify? Royalty, yes, sir. Royalty, the king. Well, he was worthy of that, wasn't he? And then myrrh. You might know what myrrh was for? Huh? Somebody said something. Say it out loud. Say it again. The smell, yes. Myrrh, yes. And what was myrrh for? It was for burial, exactly right. They brought myrrh so that they could, signifying that he was going to die, and they would wrap him in swaddling clothes once again, and then put the fragrance of myrrh on the body. And then you had frankincense, and then you had the myrrh. I think I said them backwards. All right, but the myrrh that was for I think the burial. The frankincense. You ever seen frankincense in the perfume department anywhere? Yeah. They make perfumes out of that and. And so do you remember in the New Testament when it talks about how our prayers are a sweet savor unto God? Amen. Who is our great high priest? Huh? Not me. You don't pray to me. No, Jesus is. He's our great high priest. So these three gifts were to honor him. They were to honor him. Man, praise the Lord for that. They knew exactly what they were doing because they were led of the Lord. All right? So they came and they were looking for the Savior. Man, time flies. All right, so they saw his star. They saw his star. Now, folks, those wise men, 2 years minimum, 2 years. Because Herod went back and killed all the babies 2 years old and under. Why? Well, if the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, Herod was going to cut that Messiah off. He was going to kill him. You say, well, you know, I've heard preachers say there were hundreds of babies. No, no, might have been a handful. Still a tragedy. I mean, my goodness, it's, you know. But you see, those who have no knowledge and relationship with God, they don't, human life is not, it's not an issue. You know, convenience is the issue. And that's what Herod was trying to do. So, 2 years after the account of Luke 2, listen carefully now, where the Shekinah appeared to the shepherds, the Shekinah shone all around them. 2 years later, once again, the Shekinah appears to the wise men. And it leads them across the desert and into the city of Jerusalem. And then when they left Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, then the Shekinah appeared again and led them to where the young child was. You see, folks, to those men, the ministry of the glory cloud had not been in vain. Remember, it first appeared in the Garden of Eden as a flaming sword to keep Adam and Eve from the tree of life, lest they eat from that tree and are eternally dead. Then the children of Israel are in bondage. What happens? Well, Moses goes to the backside of the desert, and lo and behold, a tree's on fire. The Shekinah shows up. Moses, get my people out. Lord, I mean, I can't do that. I'm slow of speech. I can't do that. I mean, it's been 40 years back on the backside of that desert. He hadn't spoken Egypt's language for 40 years. But it's funny, isn't it? When you turn and read Exodus, Moses does all the talking. I mean, God said, well, we'll let Aaron speak for you. But you get into Exodus, and Moses and Aaron both go before Pharaoh, and Aaron doesn't say a word. You know why? He couldn't get a word in edgewise. I mean, God calls you to do something, he equips you to do it. Amen. And so how'd God get them out? The Shekinah. They came to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's following behind them. What are they going to do now? Well, they're going to trust the Lord. And Moses takes his shepherd's staff and sticks it in the water of the Red Sea, and it parts. The Shekinah then goes and stands in front of the Egyptian army, eyeballing the Lord, eyeballing Pharaoh. Now you think about that. Would you like for God to be eye to eye with you? I mean, why in the world did that man proceed? Well, a hard heart will do strange things, won't it? And so they went over on what? Dry ground. And when they all got over, then they all turned around. Moses walks over on a rock and holds the staff up, and here they come. She kind of moved with them. So now there's no one blocking their way. Pharaoh gives the order, down in they go. And when they all got down in, all of a sudden, their wheels got heavy. What's that mean? Well, it means the mud clogged them up. They couldn't go anywhere. Those poor horses. And they couldn't go anywhere. They're stuck. And then all of a sudden, in it came. Drowned them all. A-L-L, all. And then the Shekinah led them through the wilderness. And then the Shekinah ended up in the tabernacle. And when the Shekinah moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. It led them across the Jordan River. Then they set up the tabernacle. And there in the tabernacle was the Shekinah. They could look over and see it. Imagine that, looking over and knowing that that is God. Amazing. You'd think that'd be enough to, you know, if you know daddy's watching, don't you behave? My kids always did. It's so funny. I walk out in the hallway, kids are out there in the hallway, and boy, they all straighten up. And then I get to goofing around with them and get them all wound up. And the teacher comes back and she goes, I could hear you up in the bathroom. Thanks, you got them all wound up now. I had them all calmed down. And They don't like me very well. Teachers don't like me very well. But anyway, then the cloud left. And for several hundred years, 500 and some years, no cloud. But you see, folks, those wise men, they were wise. And I'll guarantee you, when they looked and saw that, they thought about that cloud that had led the children of Israel for over 1,000 years. And they knew what was happening. The shepherds sure knew, didn't they? Yep. Yep. It's amazing how that Shekinah just shows up, isn't it? All right. Well, all right. This was the last one on the birth. So we'll move on to the next one next Wednesday night. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful word. Bless this to our hearts tonight. Father, I pray you'll give us understanding of what we have heard. And I am just so in awe of your word. I pray that you will take your word and just stir our hearts with it. And Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, the Redeemer, the Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, so that he could pay our sin debt. And so now bless the word of God to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.